halal. So hot right now. Food trucks, chockers with kebabs and the suddenly ubiquitous halal snack pack everywhere in the hippest of districts. Halal food bloggers, food writers and chefs have begun to create a trans-regional halal cuisine. Meanwhile, there's a political dimension to this, as you know. Nationalist parties here across Europe are waging war on this idea of halal. There's a moral panic about it. Halal is a threat to the very foundations of Western civilization. It's the thin end of some insidious wedge. And yet, the meaning of halal, its changing legal, cultural interpretations are, more often than not, misunderstood. So let's try and rectify that position. Phoebe Amanios joins us. She's an associate professor of history at Middleborough College, Vermont. Borish Aragana is a professor of history at the University of Vermont. Together, they are the co-authors of Halal Food, A History. Phoebe, Borish, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Phoebe, can we begin with you and tell us the story, because I think it's illustrative, of Henna Khan.
Yeah, so Henna Khan is a mom in West Yorkshire, England, who in 2004 was sending her kids to school and realizing when they came home that they had been served impermissible foods in according to her Islamic tradition. So they were being served things like ham sandwiches or some kinds of jelly candies. And those things are made of forbidden substances. And she went to the school administrators and talked with them about not serving her kids that kind of food because of the religious dietary restrictions that her family follows. And her concerns went unheard. So she decided, after some frustrating encounters with the school administrators, to pin these bright red halal-only sign tags to her three children's clothing so that when they go to school, they would be served the proper food. And so her story kind of reflects a frustration with a system that wasn't accommodating her dietary needs, that wasn't respecting her religious beliefs or identity in terms of her food demands.
I mean, Borsch, there's often more than a lack of accommodation. There's an outright hostility. I mean, in this country, in Australia, far-right groups routinely hold open-air events where they pointedly barbecue pork sausages. I mean, there is a dietary war here.
There is, and the situation is also similar in various places in Europe too. And it's also quite understandable why food is so personal to people. Food is history. Food is religion. Food is culture. Food represents, symbolizes the most primeval aspects of your identity. So if you want to challenge other people, what's the best way to do other than by challenging the food that they eat? So very understandable.
And yet, Phoebe, halal, it's like the veil, I guess, these things are very obvious manifestations of a particular religious culture. But why this particular expression, do you think? Why this expression of Islamic faith? Why is that so much in contest?
Well, food is something that has become part of our public fabric, especially in the modern world. It is something we consume in public restaurants, that we seek, that we want to participate in the global fetishization of food. And so food is a public commodity now, perhaps in a way that never existed in prior periods. So because of this publicness of this commodity and the fact that it now gets tied up with an identity marker among Muslims that's often marginalized in different cultures, especially in where Muslims are a minority, those two things get conflated and get contested together.
At the moment, we're in something of a halal revolution. There is such an increase in the size of the global market for halal food in that industry. It is taking all before it, and it is becoming increasingly popular in the West.
It's true, and that has multiple reasons. It's fashionable now. especially in many cosmopolitan centers. It is the new trend in the cuisine, you know, in the cuisine. In addition to that, the industry is also booming. Many Muslim majority settings, government states investing heavily in it. There is a growth potential that many parties, governments and non-governmental parties want to invest in and benefit from. There's a crave, there's a demand for it, but there's also people, agents, parties who want to provide supply for that demand. We are in the midst of halal revolution.
Let's take this back to first principles, the idea of halal as a historic point. Where can we trace this to?
It's in the very sources of religion. If you open the Quran, there are multiple verses in the Quran directly related to food. There are all these reports about Prophet Muhammad's life, what he ate, what he drank, how he ate those, how he drank those. There are all these examples set by him related to food. And Quranic verses and prophetic reports later played an important role in jurisprudence, interpretations of dietary rules. Food regulations go back to the sources of Islam. They are as old as religion.
One of the really interesting things has been, well, the idea of halal becoming, well, reimagined perhaps as something of a cuisine and how that's manifesting in the West. Borsh, what's the story there? How has that taken place? What's the history of that sort of integration and that development of the idea?
This is a pretty recent idea, actually. You don't find halal being used as a type of or technique of cooking in Islamic historical sources. This is a very, very recent development. It has everything to do with especially Western desire to identify or experience new tastes in a fashion. And it's almost a response to that in many Western settings, in places like London, in places like Sydney, in places like New York. It represents, you're absolutely right about that, it represents almost an evolution of the notion of halal, how the term itself is expansive in nature, has come to incorporate the kind of meanings that did not exist, have not existed until very recently.
It probably says a lot about the Western understanding of how, you know, food is nationally or regionally or religiously constituted. It's the way we like to describe things in the West, I guess.
That's right. And cuisine in general as a term is more or less born out of an association with nation states. French cuisine was among the first to be identified, recognized, and reified, especially in Western culture. But then we can talk about the rise of a variety of ethnic cuisines, especially in the modern period, that have really become a hallmark of different cosmopolitan settings. But in this way, halal is the new kid on the block of appropriating the term cuisine. And for that reason, we think this is still a bit of a work in progress, Muslims trying to think about how to define cuisine in a more transnational meaning and definition that allows them to think of food of their religio-cultural tradition as being coherent or cohesive, but also recognizing that it does transcend national borders as we might think of cuisine traditionally.
And beyond the idea of cuisine too, there's perhaps the integration of halal into the whole sort of way in which food meshes with lifestyle and wellness. And the ideas, the principles underpinning halal, they coincide with this contemporary wellness notion. I wonder if Muslims are pushing that aspect too of halal food, of wanting to see those possibilities.
Absolutely. There is a return to an important concept that also goes back to the ancient roots of Islam, which is a term called tayyib. And in traditional writings, Muslim scholars used to say halal is tayyib and tayyib is halal. Now, what does tayyib mean? Tayyib is often translated as good or wholesome in the more classical understanding. But today, what you see is a lot of Muslim activists, farmers, bloggers, and health-conscious proponents latching onto that term to think about how halal can meet their modern and current demands. For instance, those who are animal rights conscious or believe in a vegan lifestyle or a vegetarian lifestyle might argue that a Tayyib halal diet might actually not include eating animal products. Those others might read it as eating the healthiest and most wholesome food, which means it's organic, it's GMO free, it is fair trade, it is all of these things, and it is this ethical, healthy, wholesome value that's often implied when a lot of people now are invoking the halal tayyib ethos.
There's something about a healthy body which transcends cultural and religious and geographic boundaries.
That's correct. Yes.
Ultimately, Boris, we have to take this conversation to kebabs and okay. Allow food carts, which is huge. Where did the idea of halal takeaway have its origins in the West?
This is actually related to an earlier question that you asked. This is related to the fact that in many cosmopolitan, centers of the world, where people from very different cultures, including Muslim ones, try to coexist, try to find things that are cheap and that they can find easily, and grab for lunch and eat. The example that we are most familiar with comes from New York. This notion of halal food carts is very much a product of the fact that many Muslims, lower class people, try to make living in the street, try to find something cheap, but at the same time try to find something that they consider as acceptable from their religious perspective. And there's creation of a supply by the halal food cart owners provide some kind of product for that kind of demand. The interesting thing is that the evolution of this halal craze or transition of that halal craze from that supply cheap food into something almost high class, something that could be expensive, something that could be trendy, and that has everything to do with the fact that this is a cosmopolitan environment for many people who are seeking food adventures, seeing something new, trying something new, and attributing value to it and appreciating it. So in a sense, it is very much a product of the environment that many of us have been living recently, places like New York, places like London, places like Sydney.
There's a wonderful deepness there. So there you go, listener. Some background there for your next 2 a.m. kebab. This is a food with a long and steeped history. The book is Halal Food, A History. It's co-authors. We've been having a chat. Phoebe Aramanos is Associate Professor of History at Middlebury College in Vermont. Borisht Aragana is Professor of History at the University of Vermont. And this is Blueprint here on RN.